Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shimon Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzhak Et Shalom. We're now in Masechet Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Vav Amud Bet. At the next Mishnah, in the ninth Perek, this is really the second half of the first Mishnah. In the first half we dealt with Hanisrafim, and now V'elu HaNeheragin, and as we had with Nisrafim, it's a very short list. It is Rotzeach V'Anshei Irani Dachat. We've already encountered both of these several times in the past few Prakim. A murderer gets Saif, and the members of Anshei Irani Dachat, the citizens of Irani Dachat, get Saif. And the next few passages we have will deal with Rotzeach, and indeed from now till the end of the Perek, we'll deal with different nuances of murderers. As we already saw, Irani Dachat may be something that was intended to be purely theoretical, as per Rebbe Eliezer, but Rotzeach is certainly something that tragically there has been in history. Rotzeach shikat re'eu be'evan o'bevarzel. If a Rotzeach killed somebody else with stone or metal, or v'chavash alav l'toch ha'mayim, or he forced him underwater. I mean, he was already underwater. He forced him there. Or l'toch ha'ur, he was in fire, and he kept him, forced him from getting out. V'einor yachol olot misham v'meit, and the fellow can't get out and dies. Chayav. Then the one who forced him in or kept him in there is chayav. On the other hand, d'chafol l'toch ha'mayim l'toch ha'ur, if you pushed him into the water or the fire, v'yachol olot misham, and he could get out. V'meit patur. You are exempt from killing him because he could have gotten out. We will see many, many nuances of that piece. Shisabo et hakelev, shisabo et hanachash, if you sicked a dog or a snake on him, patur, because the dog or snake bit him, not you. But heshichbo et hanachash, meaning if you fanged the snake on him, meaning you took the snake in your hands with the open fangs and pushed it on him, v'rav Yehuda mechayev, or chachamim patrin, and we'll see a zoological disagreement, which is the basis for this halachic disagreement. Amar Shmuel, Mimnei Malo Ne'emra Yad Barzel. So Shmuel's making a comment on the Parsha in at the end of Sefer Bamidbar that talks about different weapons of killing, and it says Be'evan Yad, but it doesn't say Be'evan Barzel, it just says metal. It's without a handle. Shabarzel Mamit B'chol Shu, because metal could kill with even the smallest amount. Tanya Mihachu, a bright as Rebbe Omer Galu, Yeduth Nemisham Avayolam, God knew Shabarzel Mamit B'chol Shu. Then metal could kill with even the smallest amount. Mefichach lo natnat Torah bo shiur. Therefore, the Torah gives no minimum shiur for barzel for which you're chayiv. Hanimili de barzei mivraz. But parenthetically, that's only if you stab him, not if you use it to hit him, in which case, if it's a small little piece and you hit him with the dull side, it is less effective, if you think about it, than stone. Kamashlan v'toch ha'mayim. So now, reish revuta kamashlan v'sefer revuta kamashlan. Both the reish and the sefer are teaching a chiddush. Reish revuta kamashlan afagav delav ihu dechafo. Even though you didn't push him in, you found him there and you just pushed, kept him under. Kivan de'in yachol misham meit chayav. Since he can't get out, you're chayav. Sefer vuta kamashvalan in the sefer also forgave the chafo, even though you did push him in. Came the acholot misham vameit, since he could get out and he died, patur, you're exempt. Now kavash menalan, how do we know that if somebody ends up in a hazardous situation and you just block his exit, you're chayav? Amar Shmuel to Amar Kra o be'eva. The Torah talks about the distinction between an inadvertent killing for which you go to Irmi Klat and a deliberate one, and it says, O Be'evav, with enmity. Why mention the enmity? The Rabot to Tamat Samsem is to extend it to not only somebody who kills you, but also somebody who pushes you to stay in a position that you were in, and you die. Now, we have a story. Hu Gavra de Metsamsem Alachayuta de Chavrei B'Shimisha. There was a fellow who forced the animals of another fellow to out in the sun. Umeitan, it died from the sun. Ravina Machayev, heat stroke or something. Ravina Machayev, Ravina said he's chayev to pay. Rachabarav Patar, he disagreed, said Patur. Let's see why. Ravina Machayev, Kavachomer. Take a look at this. Uma, Rotzechshon Asabo Shog Nimezin Ons Karatzon. When it comes to murder, intent is very important. Nonetheless, chayev bo tamatam same. You're still chayev if you just squeeze somebody in. Nezakin, Shasabo Shogging Mazid, Ronis Karatson, when it comes to Nezakin, where intent or lack of intent, even if something happens under duress, unless you're Chayiv, and Adin Shachiv, certainly you should be Chayiv, in any case, the Rotzeach's Chayiv. Machabarav Poter, he says, why, Mershashai, my Tamad Avua da Abba de Poter? So Mershashai says, you know, my grandfather, Machabarav, exempted, Amarkra motu mata makerot seachu. In the context of that pasuk, obe evatz, pasuk number one on the page, it says the famous phrase motu mata makerot seachu. And as we saw several times with the arayot, whenever it singles who or he, it's exclusive in saying that the special halachan, the pasuk, only applies to this case. Is a chiddush only of rotzeach. Now, I'm a Rava. Rava is going to give a whole series of laws having to deal with causal death and not direct death. I'm a Rava. Kfatova meit parav. If you tie a guy down and walk away and he dies of hunger, patur, you're exempt. You didn't do the mice that killed him. If you tie him down in the sun and he died of heat stroke, but sinavamate, you tied him down in the cold and he died of exposure, chayav. Now, sof chamalavo, sof sinalavo patur, but if you tie him down somewhere and the sun is gonna come and it comes and it kills him, or the cold, then you're patur. Main point being, when you tied him down, the cause of death was not present. V'amaravak fatoli fneari, if you tied him down in front of a lion, patur. Rashi has a strange explanation here, but most people understand the opposite of Rashi. They say, because it could be the lion won't eat him. There's one lion, and if the lion's not in the mood, he won't eat him. But lifnei yitushin, if you put him in front of a swarm of mosquitoes, then chayav, because he's tied down, the mosquitoes are certainly going to swarm over him and kill him. Rashi amar, afilu lifnei yitushin na'in patur. He says, you're in patur, even it's the mosquitoes, why? Hani azli v'hani atu, meaning the original mosquitoes that were there, you tied him down. They get their fill, they leave, and new mosquitoes come, and those are the ones that eventually kill him, and they weren't there when you tied him down. Itmar, watch this. Kafalav gigit ufarala maziva, if you put a pot over a guy's head, and evidently in a way that he can't get it off. Or you opened up the roof, and let's just for right now imagine that he was tied down in a house, and then you opened up the roof so that the elements, he's exposed to the elements. Rav 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 Zer, Chadamar Chayav, Chadamar Patur. So there's a dispute about whether you're Chayav, and we don't know who said what. So tistaim de Rava hu damar patur. We should think that it's Rava who said patur. Damar Rava kfato v'meit parav patur. Because Rava already said, we just saw that if you tie a guy down, that he dies of hunger, you're patur. Meaning that if you put somebody in a situation and you lock him there, and then the death situation comes later, like the asphyxiation with the pot over his head, or the exposure to the cold, is patur. So we say, Adra, but it's time to Rabbi Zeru domar patur. But we have reason to think that Rabbi Zeru is the one who said patur. The Amar Rabbi Zera, Haiman da'ile l'chavre b'veita d'shisha. If a guy locks somebody else in a marble room, and evidently there's very little air there, but adlik l'shrago meit, and then you lit a candle that sucked out all the air, and the guy died, chayav. And we assume, tam da'adlik l'shraga, it's only because you lit the candle. Halo adlik l'shraga lav. So if you didn't light the candle, then you just put him in the marble room, and he died, you're patur. So the answer is no. Which would then lead us to think, same thing with the pot over the head, is that no. Without the candle, there really isn't the problem of noxious air. It's the candle that introduces it. At the time that he's there. Even without the candle, if you put a pot over the guy's head, immediately the noxious air begins, and it's just a matter of time till you're dead. So that means that we now have two different stages. Rava would say as follows, that if you tie somebody into a situation where the instrument of death is not immediately present, you're patur. Rabbi Zeira would say, if you tie somebody into a situation where the instrument of death is presently there, but it will be inevitable without intervention that you're going to die, then you're chayav. Okay, but if you put a guy in a marble house, nothing's going to happen until you light the candle, so you're only chayav when you light the candle. Okay, next, Amarava. The chafola bor, if you push a guy into a pit, the sulam babor, and there is a ladder in the pit itself, ubacher v'silko, and another guy came along after you pushed him in or while you pushed him in and took the ladder away. Vafilu hukadam v'silko, even if you took it away, even if you ran, imagine this, while the guy is falling and took it out, you're still patur. Why? To be in the shadia yachol alotu. The minute, at the time you pushed him in, it was an escapable bor. The fact that after he fell in, the escape was gone, but the moment of your action, it was not an action that would have killed him. V'yamarava, the assumption here is it's a deep pit, and without the ladder, he's going to die down there. V'yamarava. Now, second case, Zarak Chetz. Let's say you shot an arrow at him. Utrispi Ado, and the guy has a shield in his hand. And while you shot the arrow, after you shot it, another guy came along and took the arrow, the shield away. And now something very unlikely. If you shot the arrow and then you ran at super speed and you took it away, patur, why? Because at the moment you shot it, there was a shield to block it. If afterwards the shield's gone, that's not connected to your action. Third case, we have a Rav Azark, Bochetz, V'samanim B'yado. Let's say you shot an arrow, and the guy had salve or bandages or something to heal himself in his hand. V'achar Pizran, and after you shot the arrow, somebody came along and scattered them. V'afilu Kadam Pizran, even if you came and blew on them and scattered some sort of a salve. Patur, why? Because at the moment that you shot the arrow, he was somebody who could have been healed. So Rav Ashi takes this one step further. Even if there is an availability of these balms in the marketplace, and this guy gets shot and doesn't take advantage of it and lets himself die, then you're still patur. Says, what happens if the guy gets shot, and after he's shot, he has an opportunity to buy samanim, and he turns it down, and he dies. So his answer is that the fellow who shot the arrow is already Zakai, because this fellow who was shot had an opportunity to take care of himself, had the ladder to get out, had the samanim to heal himself, and didn't take it. All right, further. Now we're going to see a case of what I referred to in the live shiur as handball, dodgeball, deathball. The Amarava, you'll see. Zarak Sror Bakota V'chazrala Choreha V'harga. If you threw a rock against a wall, and it bounced off the wall, and it killed somebody, chayav. Now, the simple read of this is that you'd be chayav for going to galut, but Rashi suggests here that you're really aiming at the guy, and aimed it at him, aimed it properly, and ricocheted it properly, and you're chayav mita. Tana tuna, we have a tana that supports this. So those people play with the ball, meaning they bounce a ball off of a wall intending to hit somebody. So there's your handball and dodgeball. Shehargu, but they killed. So there's your death ball. But Mezid Naragin, if they intended to kill this guy, they're Chayav Mita. B'shogeg Golin, if they didn't intend, then they go into Galut like any other Shogeg. Now, B'shogeg Golin B'shita, that's a no-brainer. So the answer is Mezid Naragin is Terechalei. That was not so obvious that they are killed for doing this intentionally. Why? Ma'udetei Matrat Safeki. Because here's the problem. To kill somebody means that you gave them hatra before the act. So what are you going to tell them? Don't hit the ball against the wall because it may kill somebody. That's hatra tzafek. Mi emer dehadra. Who says it's going to bounce the way you intend? Kamash malan, that in such a case, there really is hatra vadai. Okay. Tani rav tachlifa b'marava kamed rabbi avau. So he taught rabbi avau. Gon elam asachakin machadur shir hargu. He said, these people who play with the ball and they kill, Toch arba mot patur. He put a new limitation on it. He said, if the victim is standing within arba mot of the wall, then the fellow threw the ball is patur. Chutz the arba mot chayav. But if he's further than 4 amot away, then you're chayav. So Mother Ravina Lavashi says, hey chidami, I don't get it. Eat a kanechale if you want to kill this guy. Filu portanami, if he's standing next to the wall, what do you care? Eat a lonechale if you didn't want to. Filu tuvanami lo, then it doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter that he's far away. So, Amarli, what did Rav Ashi answer? Stam misachakin bekadur. This is a macho issue. In a normal case, when people are playing, kama da ailit azlimine or da ailit fe menach lechale. The further it goes, the better you feel about it. So you want it to go further. So there's no way in the world that you wanted it to go just a measly few amot. So now, question is, lemember de chiagav nekochahu? Now, everything we've said from the first thing that Rav has said here about the rock against the wall assumes that when you throw something and it ricochets off of a surface, that's still considered your energy that's making it go. But is that really the case? Or Aminu, watch the challenge, a Mishnah in Masachet Parah Mekadesh. If you're taking the ashes of the Paraduma, putting them in the water, V'nafal Kiddush Al Yadu Al Atzad, and it fell onto your hand or on the side, meaning it didn't make it directly in the water. V'charkach Nafal Ashoket, and we assume that that means that it kind of bounced into the carved out rock where they kept the water, Pasul, which means you didn't put it in the water, even though it bounced in. So bouncing is not considered that you did it. So the answer is, Achmayaskinim is shoteid. What we're talking about here is a case where it drips in, and as it stopped, and then it kind of made its own way in. It didn't bounce off. That's certainly not your koach. So Toshma, let's see this. And this has to do with a needle that was in a house where where somebody died, which means then the needle has to go into the mikveh, but it also needs hazah. So if you have this needle, you can't do hazah on a needle. Where are you going to put it? So you put it on top of a piece of ceramic, which itself is not going to get hazah. Machashin tiyan na lacheres. So if you put a needle on top of a pot, vizalen, you did hazah on it. Safek ala machadizah, but you're not sure if you hit the needle. Safek ala cheres yizah mitzah, or you might have hit the cheres and it bounced off. That's what we think it means. And it tripped onto the needle. Hazah to pasul, it's not, no good. So you see it's not kochot. So Rav China bar Yehuda mishpei derav matzah itmar. He said, you're reading the Mishnah wrong. It shouldn't be mitzah like it dripped or bounced, but rather matzah, meaning you later found it on the needle, so you have no idea where it came from. So that doesn't prove anything. But we're still contending that a ricochet, an intended ricochet, is considered kocho. So now we'll see something related to that. So Amar Papa, Haiman de kafte lechavrei, v'ashko le bid kademaya. If a guy ties somebody down and then diverts a river right towards him, Giri didehu, that's considered like your arrow, and when the water drowns him, you're chayav. So hanimile b'koach rishon, but that's only if he directly gets the river. And b'koach sheni, if he gets an effect of the river. For instance, if the river comes and fills up a pond, and then the pond overflows and drowns him, then groma balmu, that's groma. V'yamar of papa, the second halacha takes us a little bit back to the issue of koach. Zarak tsur lamala, if you shot or threw a rock in the air. V'chalitz tadin v'harga, and it went sideways. In other words, you threw it up in the air and it went sideways, it killed somebody, chayav. So whatever Ravashi, the Rav Papa, my time, I'm assuming the kochahu, why do you think it's his koach? He kocho tezalel. If it's really his koach, it should have gone where he intended. Meaning, straight up. So Rav Papa answers, v'lav kochahu tezaletachat. If it isn't his koach, it shouldn't have gone anywhere. It should have flipped to the ground. Then Rav Papa answers, ala koach kachushu. It was his koach, but it was weak. Okay, the last piece we're going to take a look at here is something relating to, before we get to the analysis of the end of the Mishnah with the dog and the snake, is the following braita. Tana Rabbanan, hiku asara b'nei adam. We saw this earlier in Rabbi Kama. If 10 people beat a guy up, asara maklot. The reason that they have to have 10 sticks is so that it's a simultaneous beating. They're not passing a stick around. Vameit. So bein b'vatachat, whether it was simultaneous, bein b'zeach harzeh p'turin, or whether they took turns, they're all patur. He disagrees and says, if it was sequential, then the last guy, the one who kills him actually, is chayav, meaning even though after the first 9 guys hit him, maybe he was mortally wounded, this last guy made him die quicker. So he's chayav. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says the machloket is based on a pasuk. It's in Parshat Emor. If a man kills a person, kol nefesh adam. So Rabbanan Savri, kol nefesh means adika kol nefesh. You have to kill a person entirely. Not just if he's almost dead because other people hurt him and now you do the finish the job. Kol nefesh, kol duhu nefesh. Rabbi Materis is the opposite, meaning any part of the life. You extinguish the life, you're chayav. That's Rabbi Yochanan says it's about a pasuk. Ravid disagrees and says it's really about a question of analogy. Everybody agrees that if you kill a treifa, meaning a person, let's say, who got his neck cut and he's bleeding, and you come and kill him, you're patur. If somebody's dying because of some disease, in other words, nobody hurt him, but he got sick or he's old and he's dying, and you come up and you kill him, everybody agrees you're chayav. Chacham disagreed about goses bidei adam, meaning somebody's dying because people hurt him. Mar medamilei treifa, so therefore Rabbanan say he's like a treifa. Mar medamilei goses bidei shamayim. Yehuda Materah says like goses bidei shamayim. The guy's on his deathbed basically, and then you finish the job. You're chayav. So now let's see why. Man medamilei treifa. The Rabbanan who compare him to a treifa. My tamal medamilei goses bidei shamayim. Why don't they like the comparison of goses bidei shamayim? The answer is goses v'dei shamayim lo tavid b'maaseh. That is, somebody who was goses v'dei shamayim didn't have anything happen to him. Just his body gave out. And he's about dead. Hayta b'maaseh. This guy got beaten up. So he's like a treifa. Umad goses v'dei shamayim. So Yehuda Vateru says he's like a goses v'dei shamayim. My time alo abadamele treifa. Why does he compare it to a treifa? The answer is treifa mechatchi simonim. A treifa has the simonim cut. This guy just got beat up, and it's just an accumulation of the beating and the trauma to his body that kills him, and so this is really like a goses v'dei shamayim. and you're chayav for killing him. All right, so now let's see. Tani Tana coming to Rav Sheshet. A Tana taught in front of Rav Sheshet. V'ishke akeh kol nefesh adam. We just saw that pasuk. Ma'viya lakat chaverov ve'en bo kedei lahamit. That's there to include a case where if one person hits somebody and it's not a blow that's enough to kill him. Uva'acher ve'mito, and another guy comes along and kills him, shu chayav, the second guy's chayav. So wait a second. En bo kedei lahamit pshita. Obviously, if the first blow wasn't enough to kill him, obviously the second guy's chayav. We're talking about is a case where the first blow was fatal, meaning it was strong enough to kill him. And another guy came along and killed him, meaning because he sped up the guy's death. And that brayta is like Rabbi Mateira. Amarava. Now watch this. If somebody kills a treifa, patur, that we saw. Utrefa sharag, if a trefa kills somebody, now it's a very interesting halacha. Bifnei Beit Din chayav, if he kills somebody in the presence of Beit Din, then they kill him. Shalom bifnei Beit Din patur, but if he kills somewhere else and we have witnesses, he's patur. Why? Bifnei Beit Din chayav, dichtiv yartara mikirbecha. Beit Din has a job of getting rid of the evil, extirpating the evil from their midst, and therefore they saw this guy kill, they kill him. Shalom bifnei Beit Din patur, because now we have, we need witnesses. And what's the problem? The testimony of these guys coming and saying, this guy killed, is testimony that you can't be mazim. Why can't you be mazim it? Because what would you give to these edim if it turned out that they were lying? What are you going to do? You can't kill them. They weren't a treifa. And that's not edut. We've seen that several times. V'yama Rava, second halacha. Haroveyata treifa. If somebody sodomizes a treifa, chayav, of course. Treifa shirava b'fnei beitin chayav v'shalom b'fnei beitin patur, and the same reason. B'fnei beitin chayav, dichti v'yatar kibachas, b'fnei beitin patur, avnei edut shiata chol azima. Good. So the question is, hatu lamali. What do we need the second halacha for? The haynu hach. The answer is, haroveyata treifa tzrichalei. Sodomy is not so obvious. Why? Ma'udotem lave kemandu mashamish meit. Since a treifa is considered to be like a dead man. So I might think that you're not chayiv for sodomy because it's like necrophilia, which is disgusting, but not you're not chayiv for it. V'lipater, kamash v'lan d'mishum hanahu. The prohibition is not because of the abuse to this person, but it's because of your own perverse pleasure, and right lehanah, and you got hanah from it, so therefore you're chayiv mita. V'yamarava. Now a third piece. Edim she'idu b'treifa v'huzamu. If Edim testified about a guy who was a treifa, that he did something, and they're muzam, ain't neragim. We can't kill them, because they're not treifas. Ede treifu zhuzamu, but if you have Edim who themselves are treifas, that were muzam, neharagim. We kill them. Why not? It turns out they are two Edim. These guys are dying, but they're Edim, and they testified that somebody was Mechal Shabbos or something, and it turns out they were lying. We kill them. Rashi Amar, afilu ede treifu zhuzamu ain't neragim. We can't kill them either. Why? Because think about this. If two Edim come and testify that a guy was Mechal Shabbos, so he'd get killed. That's Reuven and Shimon come and testify that a guy was Mechal Shabbos, he'd get killed. Let's say Reuven and Shimon are treifas. Right? So their edut is accepted. Here's the problem. Levi and Yehuda come and testify. How could you say that you saw me Mechal Shabbos? Last Shabbos you were with us at a Shabbaton in the mountains. So now Reuven and Shimon are going to be killed. And Levi and Yehuda and your supposed perpetrator are off the hook. But now let's say Yisachar and Zvulun come along and say, Levi and Yehuda, how can you testify that they were at a Shabbaton? You were with us in the city for Shabbos. So now what's going to happen is the perpetrator is again going to be killed, and Reuven and Shimon are off the hook. But what do you do with Levi and Yehuda? You can't kill them because they were trying to get a treifa killed, two treifas killed. So therefore we can't accept their testimony to start off with. That's Rav Ashi's extension. V'yamarav, a short treifa sharag. Interesting piece. What if you have an ox that's a treifa, and it killed? You obviously can't eat it, you shecht it, but what if it kills? Chayav, it kills a person, and you have to stone it. V'shor shal adam treifa, but if it's a shor that belongs to a person who's a treifa, sharag patur. You don't kill it. My taima. Amakra, hashor yisakel v'gam balav yumat. We've seen this several times, that the Torah says that when a shor muad kills a person, both the shore and its owner are killed. We know it doesn't really mean killed. It's kofar. But, so that has to, and it means that only in a case where you could kill the master can you kill the shore. And therefore, you can't do that if you can't kill the master. Why can't you kill the master? Because he's a treifa. So now, Rashi Amar, afilu shor treifa, nami shari patur. Ravashi, this is the third time he's done this now, extends Rava's exception to a further case, which is, he says, even in the first case Rava said, which is, if the shor is a treifa, you can't kill it. Why? Kevin de ilubali vavaptiri shor nami patur. Since if the owners were treifa, they'd be patur. Therefore, the shor, who has to, there's an analogy here, also has to be patur. Okay, the last little piece, at the end of the Mishnah, we talked about sicking a dog or fanging a snake, opening up the teeth and pushing the teeth on somebody. Rabbi Yehuda said, you're chayiv, and Chacham said, you're patur. Rachav Yaakov, Shetim Salom Adiv Rabbi Yehuda, Eres Nachash Ben Shinav Vuomed. He says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the poison is right there between the teeth, which means that you're basically using a tool, and therefore you're chayiv. V'fichach makish chamesayif, the guy who pushes it, you get killed. V'nachash patur, we don't do anything to the snake, because the snake didn't do anything, it's just a tool. But l'divrei chachamim, according to the chachamim, eres nachash miyatzvo makeh, he generates his own poison. V'fichach nachash beskila, therefore the nachash gets skila, like any other animal that kills a person. V'makish patur, the guy who fanged it, who picked him up and did that, is patur. Okay, we'll stop at this point. Pick it up in the next Mishnah, the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.